what I've learned in these groups is that anyone that says, what can I do for you?
They're just those words.
Yep. Yeah, that's pretty powerful. And then you feel supported and you would do the same for them.
Welcome to the Fitpreneurs Podcast. We are a global educator of high-performance fitness business owners that want more time, more freedom, and more importantly, want to change the world. So if that sounds like you, you're in the right place. Grab yourself a piece of paper and a pen, take notes, but most of all, take massive action.
Hey guys, welcome to the Fitpreneurs Podcast. And in today's episode, I have one of my Platinum Mastermind members on the call. Her name is Christine Matthews. Christine, thank you for joining.
Hey, thanks so much for inviting me. I'm excited.
Yeah. So, Christine, why don't you share with everyone how you got started in the fitness industry? I think it'd be a great to share that story, and then we'll talk about, you know, all the highs, the lows, and really, you know, for you guys listening, this is also about, you know, stepping away from the business, which Christine has managed to do. And that's been a journey in itself. So yeah, why don't you share how it started?
Yeah, well, I'll start with, I never imagined that I would be an entrepreneur. That was never a dream of mine, if you will. I figured, well, I went to school for education and got my master's in education. So that's where my skills are, and that's what I'm going to do. And didn't really think outside of the box any more than that. But fitness had always been a part of my life. I was a three-sport athlete growing up and started playing football with my dad when I was 3 years old. So just that was ingrained in me. Joined the military at 17, so continued on that fitness and healthy living journey from then on as well. So got into kickboxing when I lived in Minnesota and worked with trainers there and fighters, and just fell in love with the martial arts. So fast forward, I moved out to Colorado a few years back and was still working in education, but something just didn't feel right. And that was the reason for me moving to Colorado. I was at a very comfortable job and I wasn't able to go any higher. Once you have a master's degree, yeah, you can go get your PhD, but in terms of money, it doesn't matter how hard you work, you're making the same amount of money. And there were other reasons. I just felt like my heart wasn't full. I wasn't fulfilled and living in abundance at all. So I moved out to Colorado, still worked in education and continued to feel that way. And so I was like, I need kickboxing in my life because it was such a big stress relief for me. So I joined a gym and fell in love with the concept. I did it for a year and I thought, man, and I don't know what, I can't even remember the aha moment. I just know that I would go to work and sit in the parking lot and cry because I didn't like it so much. And I was like, there's got to be something else. And so I started thinking about what I'm passionate about, and it was fitness and people. I love people, and my whole life has been wanting to serve others and wanting to help others. And I thought, man, how can I put those two together? And I just started searching the internet, and my gym came up. The gym that I attended came up, and it said, hey, own a franchise. I'm like, well, so I started looking into it. And here we are. Yeah.
So talk to me about taking that leap. Was that scary?
It was. I had no idea what I was doing. Yeah, it was great. No idea. But that was the fun part. I was like, and I would look myself in the mirror some days and say, you do realize that you're going to give everything that you have, like money, time, energy. I hated waking up early, and I was going to wake up even earlier to suddenly open up a business. And I was going to be in charge of a lot of things. And so, yeah, I mean, if you're not smearing your pants, you're not doing it right. So I just kind of, yeah, just went for it. But that's what drove, I'm an adrenaline kind of junkie. And so that drove me even more, that this has to work because I'm putting everything I have into it.
Yeah. So talk about the first year, you know, and let's talk about, you know, I know everyone likes to talk about the highs and the money made and the impact made, but let's talk about some of the, like the lows of the first year. I want to get raw.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I didn't reach out to any mentor at all my first year. And so I was like, oh, I can do this. I can follow Simon. I'll be a creeper and follow Simon for a year, which is what I did with you, and just tried to absorb as much as possible from all these people who have gone before me.
Why did you make that decision, like to do it on your own? Like, what was going through your head at that time?
I didn't know otherwise. You know, you don't know what you don't know. And nobody said, hey, do you have a mentor? So I just thought, I'll take it upon myself to, I said, well, everything's, you know, on the internet, and there's books and there's podcasts. So I'll just absorb as much as possible. And I realized that I wasn't able to do that because I was working in the gym. I mean, I can't even count how many hours a day, like opened at 6 a.m. and it didn't get home till 8:30 p.m. And I did it every single day.
Yeah.
And so that's how the first year, I would say first 6 months was deep into just being in the gym and creating systems in the gym, which looking back was fantastic. And I felt like I needed that experience and I needed to do that and work super hard and be in the muck in order for me to now be where I'm at.
So do you remember getting your first client?
Yes, I do. They didn't even work out. They just came in and said, hey, I'd like to sign up for membership.
That was everyone wants that.
Right? Yeah, I do. I do. And it was like, this is real. This is real. Like, we're actually going to, you know, work with people and change lives that's what I felt when our first person walked in that door.
So in your first year, what was your marketing strategy and what did you do and what worked and what didn't?
It's more of what I didn't do and what I learned from. I didn't set that gym up for success to start with. I thought posting a few posts on Facebook, like, hey, countdown to when we're open. That's all I did. I didn't have a social media plan. We are right on the street. So I thought that was good enough that people could see us. We are right next to, you know, we're in a busy area. So there's a lot of walking traffic. And I thought, well, this is all, I didn't know any better. I didn't really research that part of it. I thought, well, people are just going to walk by and be intrigued. And I did have trainers standing out, passing out flyers, you know, to the lunch crowds and everything. But I think what I did right away within the first couple months of opening was joining the Chamber of Commerce. And that has been my number one marketing strategy, really. Because depending on what even community you're in, the relationship-based businesses, and that's what we're all about. And that's what's helped my business go from, I mean, nothing to where it is now.
Great. So what's the strategy that you use at Chamber of Commerce? Because I know that some people go there and like they have fear, they have anxiety. Yeah. Like, what do you think is some of the like step-by-step that if someone was listening, like just go do this, if you could, you know, give them a few different steps.
Yeah. Meet with the membership advisor and they can go over. I think that just helps because they talk about everything that they do within the community and just kind of sets your mind at ease. But then you're just talking one-on-one with one person. And then they can help you determine what membership is going to be the best for you. If you're looking for strictly marketing, they might have a plan for that. If you want to join a leads group, they're going to tell you what leads groups are available. And so what I did once I joined was join a leads group, and that would be my number one recommendation once you're in. So then you're building relationships. And yeah, here's the time commitment piece where you're going to have to leave the gym and go participate in those meetings on a regular basis because it's all about showing up, being consistent, and you're working for each other in those leads groups.
So how you get, once you got the leads and you got interest, how are you getting people signed up? Are you just like inviting them to come in for a session? Like, what's the strategy there?
Yeah, exactly. So we always have our first workout free. So that usually gets most people in the door. Mm-hmm. And we also hold events. So again, going back to, I'm all about community. You know, our mission is to inspire healthy living throughout our communities. And we can't always do that when we're in the gym and nobody's showing up. So we get out. So not just those leads groups, but any chamber events that are happening. There's happy hours all the time. So we're attending those and handing out our business cards. And those free workouts are free weeks as well as a big hit. So we plan a lot of joint ventures with other local businesses just to get our name. So whether it's partnering with a nutritionist, chiropractor, you know, other doctors in the area has been really helpful because then it's tapping into their community as well and their tribe. So that's been awesome. We hold monthly events at the gyms, you know, whether it's lunch and learns or wine and wellness, things like that. So it's not necessarily coming in to do a workout, but it's more educational, but at least they're in the gym and they're meeting the trainers.
Right. So I'm interested to know from, you know, from all of the people that you've connected with from the Chamber of Commerce, was there any like few people in particular that maybe sent you more referrals, or there's a certain people that maybe were influences that you really connected with that you would recommend that the guys kind of try and track down in their local area?
Yeah. Think about who talks to everybody all the time.
Yeah.
You got real estate agents.
Right.
So they're going to be huge. There's photographers as well. Anybody who's also in a service-based, you know, industry, that's their job to network, and they know everybody. So real estate agents have been one of the, key support in that marketing area.
One of the things that I talked about this weekend with Jessica here at the ranch, which is for an event that we do here called Spiritual Hustle, was we talked about, and we asked this question of everyone, which was, what makes you want to see someone again? You know, when you're networking and you're connecting, and you're obviously a great connector, like for you, like if you're meeting with someone, what puts you off and doesn't want you to, like, what makes you not want to see that person again? Because I think this is a really important conversation, because some people don't know how to network. They don't know how to open up those conversations. And a couple of the things were, you know, for example, you know, small talk and not being present and, you know, only talking about themselves. What are some things that you've noticed from people that you interact with where you're like, I don't really want to see you again, or recommend or connect?
What a great question and conversation. I would 100% agree with what they brought up. And it's that talking about themselves. How is anyone going to be able to network for you and support you and share your story and what you're doing if they're talking about themselves the whole time to you? So that is my number one turnoff, is somebody that isn't asking you questions, as you should do the same to them, because the whole point is getting to know each other on a personal level and then getting to know each other on a professional level as well. So that's usually a big turnoff. But what I've learned in these groups is that anyone that says, what can I do for you?
They're just those words.
Yep. Yeah, that's pretty powerful. And then you feel supported and you would do the same for them.
Nice. So let's go into the segue of like, what made you want to reach out and you know, for mentorship and coaching. And let's talk about like the breakthroughs that you've had since coming into the main program and what happened there, and then moving into platinum and then getting to the point where you were able to finally step away. And let's just go through that story and share some of the insights, tips and strategies so that people can really understand, you know, how they can get momentum, you know, to be more fulfilled and to be happier in their business.
Yeah. Yeah. I think,
Where were you emotionally at that time? Like, what was that time point of you reaching out and again talking about like the dark place?
Yeah. If you ever feel like you're putting your heart and soul into something and you're just stuck, like you're working as hard as you possibly can and long hours, and you feel like you're doing everything that the podcast tells you, the webinar, and you know, you're doing all the marketing strategies, everything that you can think of, and it's not, your business isn't growing and you're feeling drained. I just felt like I was in a place of being stuck. And I had no more energy inside of me to reach out, like for myself to read any more books, because I didn't know what other books to read. And I just felt honestly alone, because nobody else around me was, like, everyone was struggling right there with me. And so no one else was able to recommend anything different than I'd already done. So I reached a point, and like I said, I'd been following you for a year, and the value of the content that you're putting out, I mean, I used all that in my gyms, and I'm like, I needed accountability, and that was the number one piece missing. I wasn't disciplined enough on my own anymore because I was so stinking tired.
So Yeah, where did you start to see momentum, and what was the things that you do that got that? Was it on your mindset piece? Was it just the some different strategies? Like what got you that trajectory again, where you started to feel better about this?
Yeah,
about the business.
Yeah, I had no idea that mindset played the role that it plays, and both the in just life, just life in general, and obviously that trickles over into the business. But I had no idea until I. You know what I did? I actually purchased one of your packages that was online. Like the modules were right in front of me and I never opened them up once.
Mm.
Right? So I did that like November of 16, I think it was. And, didn't even open them up. And finally I was like, are you kidding me? I spent money on this and it's right in front of my face. Clearly I need someone to hold my feet to the fire.
Right.
I need some guidance here. And so, so that's when I joined. That's when I joined your group. And that's when I started learning more about mindset. Now, don't get me wrong. I had, downloaded some meditation apps and did it not regularly at all. But I understood the basics of, okay, I need to have a good state of mind in order to perform my best every single day, in order to be a good leader within my business and a good trainer. And, so I understood that foundation, but I didn't know how much I needed to do and work on. So that wasn't until I joined your group. And honestly, it was that accountability, not just with the coach, but with the tribe of people that were all striving to just be better. And that's what I needed. I needed that tribe because I was out there on my own and it wasn't working.
Now, when you came to the ranch and we did the Ultimate Freedom Live, you obviously had some shifts there. And let's talk about what happened there and obviously meeting people for the first time, because then we had a conversation obviously about you wanting to start to step away. And I know that a lot of business owners, particularly studio owners, they are burnt out doing so many things, but they hold on to it for so long. So where were you when you came to the house and what were some of the breakthroughs? And again, adding value to the listeners, like if they could take some things away from that event, like what were some of the biggest things you learned?
Yeah, that was a big eye-opening event with everybody. And I think the breakthrough is what I was hoping to get out of that. And you never know when that's going to happen or what that's going to look like or how. But when you are raw and vulnerable with people around you that you feel safe with, magical things can happen.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. So I just was like, yeah, I tapped into some deep stuff of why am I holding on to this business? Clearly I'm a control freak. So if anybody else out there is not letting go of things within their business because they feel that they need to control everything that happens because it's only going to get done right if you're doing it, that's where you need to put yourself in check.
Mm.
And that's what I had to do. Because you're not going to be able to build your business and work on it if you are in it. I feel like, and the energy that we project when we're trying to control things, nobody wants to have a leader like that.
Right.
So big breakthrough with that group and just being vulnerable and letting it all out and whatever limiting beliefs I had about what I was still holding on to, it was gone by the time I left there. And man, is that powerful. Cause when you come back to your team of trainers and you look them in the eye and you say, I trust you, I trust you. Holy crap. Is that empowering for them? And if they respect you, then they step up and they're like, I cannot disappoint them. I cannot disappoint my boss, my leader, my teammate. So, it just opened the door to be able to let go myself of like, you know what, we have systems in place. And that would be, definitely a strategy that I implemented since day one is what systems and processes work. And I was only able to really learn that if I was actually in the gym running the day-to-day operations with the other trainers and kind of being in the arena with them. So once we had those systems in place, systems run a business, people run the systems. So it's just training everybody to run those. And then you're like, I don't know, you're able to take a step back and just watch it run itself. Watch the trainers just kick butt every day, and you're able to take a step back from that.
So let's look at contrast between what you were doing in the business versus what you do now, like a year ago. Let's just give people a comparison of, like, you know, the whole like food thing, which is like, eat this, don't eat this, right? So like, what's the comparison? Like a year ago, what you were doing in your average day and week, and like what it is now?
Yeah, a year ago, I had shifts in the gym that I covered. It was morning and evening. The time I had were closed in the middle of the day. So the couple hours I had, I just crashed on the couch. I didn't feel like doing any work at all. When I could leave the gym, I got to, you know, a leads group meeting in the Chamber of Commerce, maybe one or two times a week. But that was it. I mean, I was ordering supplies for the gym. I was in there training, getting to know members, which is great. But my time wasn't spent on the business. It was all in it. Oh, the other thing I did, which I feel was really hard on my trainers, is that I would only come out into the middle of the gym to support when it got busy. Other than that, I was in this back storage room trying to be on the computer answering emails. And if you have an ADHD brain and know what I'm talking about, it's really hard to go back and forth, you know, and shift your focus from, you know, to multiple things. So I basically was working super long hours and zero production, not productive whatsoever. To now, I don't have any, I have two gyms now, and I don't pull any shift. I'm not scheduled at all. So I have the freedom to, interestingly enough, work less hours, get more done. Throughout my week, I'm attending way more events in the community. I'm creating events, hosting them. I am able to go into my gym and just be present and spend time with the trainer, spend time with the members and getting to know them. And still be a part of that community. Isn't that, oh, I'm going to walk away and, you know, since they're running the show, I could just go, you know, shopping or go on trips and everything. I still want to be present. Because I think there's an aspect of that leadership piece where, you know, your trainers need you every once in a while. So, and at least need to know that you're there to support them. But yeah, totally different experience.
Now, obviously at the event in San Diego, you know, you'd grown your revenue significantly. You'd got to that certain point where you qualified for the mastermind, but you know, that was and I gave you the invitation. So, and let's talk about like that moment and then what you've experienced in the mastermind since, because obviously you've been to, you know, more events and you've gotten part of that tribe and you've experienced that. You know, I just want to talk about that piece too, because that's just like another leap, you know, it's just another big jump. Yeah.
I wholeheartedly believe if we're not learning, we're not living. And so if we think that we, you know, we get to a point, let's say you're finally at a point where you got systems in place and you're feeling really good about your businesses and you can take a step back. There's always the next level. There's always the next thing, whatever that is for you and your priorities. There's always more to learn. There's always, you know, we can always be a better leader. There's always more we can do within our community and for our businesses to make them even better every day. So even though, yeah, I got to that level once I had joined the Fitpreneurs and got my business to a level that, you know, I was happy with, that question was, what's that next step? And I was ready for that. And then when I got your invitation, I realized I was going from a feeling of being in, like, it's like going from elementary school to getting your PhD is what it felt like the transition of what I was learning, and the tribe that I was with was just taking everything, like me personally and professionally, to the next level, joining the mastermind group.
And what's been your experience from that with the, you know, for example, the last mastermind? I feel like it's kind of like, it's more than like the business, you know, it's more about growing you as the leader and, like, you know, the energy work that we do and the people that we bring in. So what have been some takeaways from that, or your coach, or just stuff that people can listen and understand?
Oh yeah. There's a lot of takeaways. You know, when you surround yourself with a tribe of people who truly want to help you become a better person, things change. You know, you look at yourself and your situation a little bit differently, and And it's just such a tight-knit tribe where people, we want to help each other. Like, yes, we're all there to do personal development, but we on our journey of that, we're helping each other along the way. And I think that's what helps us grow even more and even deeper. And that's been my experience with those amazing group of people. And it's just that, like, everybody's going through the same thing. It doesn't matter whether it's somebody in the nutrition field or fitness, whether they own a big box gym, whatever wherever they're coming from, man, we still all experience the same stuff on a personal, you know, personal professional level. And so just to have those connections, and share ideas and, man, I actually just messaged my coach yesterday, just on something that I was kind of small, but it turned out to be so much bigger than I ever imagined, because it's helping me become a better leader. And I wouldn't have gotten, if I didn't have a coach, I would not have gotten that advice, and I wouldn't have approached an employee in the way that I did. And the outcome was phenomenal. It was such an amazing, courageous conversation that we had. And I was not going to approach it in the way that my coach had recommended. So it's just needed. Like, I can't imagine not having a mentor, not having a tribe where everybody works together to take themselves personally and professionally to that next level.
What would you say to yourself, you know, if you could, if there's a little voice that you could give to you when you started the studio and you were probably in like a dark place of like, holy shit, what's going on? What would you like say to like Christine back then?
Oh, wow. Like before.
Yeah. Like in the first few months, you know, as you were growing the location.
I would give myself a hug, that's for sure, and say, and just be compassionate. Like, no one screws up. Like, I would tell myself, you're not screwing up. You're just creating learning opportunities. And give yourself permission to, if you want to call it screwing up, give yourself permission to do that. Give yourself permission to take chances. Not only in the business, but also on the people that you hire. Take chances, even if, you know, I don't know, they weren't hired by somebody else for whatever reason. If you believe in your heart and in your gut that, you know, something's going to be a good fit, then go with it. Take that chance.
And then just wrapping up, like talking about hiring, like what's been some of your biggest lessons when it comes to hiring and mistakes and lessons for those who are, you know, maybe on their own right now and they're looking to build a team?
Hiring is crucial. If you're trying to build a culture and an environment where people feel safe and invited and loved and they want to come back every single day, then your people are the most important. I looked at an actual person and their character and their values versus their skills, because I can teach the skills. They can learn the skills if they're driven and motivated to learn it. But I can't always teach that character and that value piece. So we go through a kind of an extensive interview process. And I would say number one piece of advice for that is trust your gut. If you're having a phone interview with someone and right off the bat, within the first 2 minutes, you're like, oh, I don't really have a great feeling about this person, then just end it. Trust your gut and the conversation and don't have them go through, because you're just going to waste your time and everybody else's having to go through the interview process. Same thing with meeting them face to face. There's only a handful of questions that I need to ask, and I'm going to know whether someone's going to truly be as passionate about what they do than all the other trainers there.
Great. Fantastic, Christine. Well, thank you so much for being awesome. And I know that you've got lots going on right now and you've got a fun day ahead. Thanks for sharing the wisdom. Is there anything else that you want to part with just for anyone listening?
Well, thanks. I really appreciate it, Simon. I appreciate the time. Man, enjoy the ride. And just enjoy the ride. If you can get into a mental state that's constant every day, that you're filled with so much abundance and patience and excitement for what you do, it doesn't matter what life is going to throw at you. You're going to do it with a smile and with some joy, and just have fun with it, because it's an amazing ride and journey.
Cool.
Guys, if you're interested in finding out more, head to fitpreneurs.com, click the mastermind button. There's a video of Christine there. She doesn't know that it's there, but it is. and I'll see you in another episode of Fitpreneurs. Also head to iTunes and give a review. Also, you can check us out on SoundCloud. And we'll see you in another episode. Take it easy. Bye.